Ibrahim alayhi salam. We talked about the Prophet Muhammad. We talked about the central role of Mecca in this plan. And the last verse that we discussed was from Surah Baqarah, verse 143. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا. As you remember, we said before this sentence and after this sentence, there's a discussion about change of qibla, direction for prayer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inside this discussion, makes a very general point. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have made you a middle, a balanced nation. Allah has planned in the way that Rasul is shaheed for us, he's a witness for us, and by following him, and in particular by making sure that we don't go to any extreme, then we become example for other people. This shows how balance is important. Among many other qualities, Allah says this is one of the central and fundamental qualities. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا. We didn't make the qibla that you were following illa, except لِنَّعْلَمَ, in order to know, means in order to be known. When we say to know, of course Allah knows everything, but it means to be known. مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولِ, the one who follows Rasul, مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبُ عَلَىٰ أَقْبَيْ, distinguished from the people who go backward, go to Jahiliyyah. This is a very important point. Again, this is one example, but you can take general rule after this example. A great sign of mu'min is that he must be in control of his or her emotions. For Muslims who used to say their prayer towards Baytul Muqaddas or Jerusalem for some time, it was difficult to change the direction. Imagine for your Salat, you have always been saying prayer to one direction. Then in the middle of prayer or between two prayer, Allah says, now you have to change towards Mecca. This shift is not easy. For us today is easy because we never said our prayer to one direction and when we were supposed to change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there were people that they had difficulty in accepting this because they were attached to the previous qibla. Allah says, وَإِن كَانَتْ لَكَبِيرَةً إِلَّا عَلَى الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ. It was very difficult, very painful, except for the people that Allah guided them. You are used to something and you think this is part of your religion, and indeed it was part of religion, then Allah said, now you have to change. This needs rationality preceding emotions. It's very difficult.
Oh, what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow. His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. Down this road that holds all the answers. Open your heart to something greater. His holy book speaks pure and true, and always tells us what we must do. His last prophet was sent as a guide, an example by which we abide. There is salvation for those who seek to find the one and only source of peace and understanding of why we are here. Who created us, who we must fear. So what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
Imagine, you know, someone, for example, has been fasting all months of Ramadan. One Ramadan, he or she is ill, and fasting is harmful. You say, you must not fast. He says, I cannot. I must fast. All my life I have been fasting. How you say, you know, I should not fast? Or you say, you know, you are traveling. Say, no, I must fast. This is a problem. Why are you fasting? Are you fasting because of making a habit? Because you are enjoying your fasting? Or you are listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah says, today you must not fast, okay, I don't fast. Tomorrow you have to fast, okay. You know, in the whole month of Ramadan, we have to fast. When it comes to day of Eid, Allah says it's haram to fast. It doesn't say you don't need to fast, it's haram. Why? Why we go through these sharp changes? Because this is a test to see how committed we are. I speak today, yes. Today you have to be silent. Okay, I have to be silent. Today you speak about Ahlul Bayt, yes. Tomorrow maybe you have to hide some of the things. Okay, I am going to hide. This is part of my requirement. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, to carry, ihtimal means to carry, which means to accept and to be undertaking. Our affair, our amr, our wilaya is not just to accept, it is also to keep it protected and hidden from the people who are not supposed to know. So sometimes I have to say something and sometimes I have to keep silent. Sometimes I have to say my most beloved mottos and slogans, and sometimes I have to hide. This is a matter of mu'min being in control of his emotions and habits. Allah says this is very difficult. وَإِن كَانَتْ لَكَبِيرَةً إِلَّا عَلَى الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ. This is very difficult except for the people that Allah has guided them.
I'm looking back throughout the years to breathe is hard and my eyes are choked with tears. Your face and hair are full of light. Now it will soon be time to go. I feel you feeling calm now. Did the angel let you know?
Oh Allah, please send your salutations to Muhammad and all Muhammad. Oh Allah, please forgive us. Please forgive all our sins and mistakes and shortcomings. Please enable us to serve you with full honesty and truthfulness and sincerity. Please include us among the best followers of Muhammad and all Muhammad. Please protect and safeguard our community and our families and our youths from everything that you don't like. Oh Allah, please hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Please make our Imam Zaman happy with what we do and what we say. Please answer his du'as for his faraj. Please give shifa to all people who are ill. Please give shifa to people who are ill in their body and in their soul. Oh Allah, please send your rahmah, your forgiveness to all who have passed away, especially brothers and sisters who were attending these majalis in this community and other communities. Our parents, our foreparents, our teachers, our ulama, our maraji, those who have passed away. Please let them be with Muhammad and all Muhammad right now. And please give long life and blessed life to the parents and to the teachers and maraji who are alive. Oh Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.
My ummah, he will say, Rasulullah on that day, even though we've strayed from him and his way. My brothers, my sisters in Islam,
Let struggle work and pray. If we are to bring back the glory of His way. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listener of Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, we invite you to listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
My dear brothers and sisters in Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As we continue in our series that we began looking at the 10 Islamic commandments for a healthy life, as we mentioned on the very first night that these 10 commandments that I have chosen are from the ayat of Allah, the ayat of the Quran that Allah has revealed to us. And this is from the book of Allah, the Quran, a book which, as we mentioned, is a guidance for all of humanity. As we mentioned that Allah says, Quran is hudan linnas. It is a guidance for human beings on a whole, regardless of what religion you follow. And then we further added to that by Allah's words in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah says the Quran is hudan lil muttaqin. It is a guidance for those who have piety, who have the consciousness, the taqwa of Allah. And as we had mentioned, that this book of the community, this book that Allah has given to us, should not just be a book that is used in superficial ceremonies. Unfortunately, many times in the Muslim Ummah, the Quran is open in the month of Ramadan, the first night of Ramadan, the Quran is opened. We read a juz every night, which is great, don't get me wrong. But come the day of Eid, the Quran goes back on the shelf, the bookshelf is closed, and we say goodbye to the Quran. We also see that Quran is used ceremoniously in weddings, in funerals, on our smartphones, maybe as a screensaver. Maybe we'll hang the Quran from our rearview mirror. Many times the young men are now getting tattoos with ayat of the Quran. But the question we have to ask, which we want to do in these nights, is what of the Quran are we implementing within our lives? It's a book of thawab, no doubt, to remember, to memorize, to recite is a great achievement. But really the goal of the Quran and what transformed the early companions of Rasulullah in Mecca and in Medina, and in even till today, what is bringing non-Muslims to Islam is the Quran. It's not necessarily your or mine behavior or akhlaq. Actually, many times people become turned off by Islam because of the way Muslims act. But you ask people who have come into this religion, from another tradition, and many times you'll find that the Quran touched their lives. And so we continue in our discussion by looking at the second commandment of the 10 that we want to cover. And that is the commandment to be good to our parents. Now, when you look in the Quran, it's very interesting. For those who were here last night, we began with this verse of Surah Bani Israel, verse 24 of Surah Bani Israel. Let me come back to the verse and go over some of the key words, because in order for us to appreciate our parents and what Allah is saying in this verse, we have to understand some of the words that Allah uses. And really, this is also an encouragement to all of you that when you read the Quran, when you want to begin to study the Quran, don't just read the Quran in Arabic and move on. Don't just read a verse and say, okay, I learned it. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise is due to God, Lord of the universe. Try and use references that are available, whether you be in English or Urdu or Arabic or Persian or whatever language. Find resources that will give you understanding of the individual words of the Quran. Because words, as you and I know, they change over time. Meanings change over time. Words change in their meaning in different countries. Today, if I was to use certain words in Canada, they have one connotation. I use the same word in the UK, in London, and it's a completely different meaning. So when we read the Quran, don't say, oh yeah, I know Arabic. And I heard that word being used in the markets in Iraq or in whatever country, or in Syria or Lebanon, so I know the Quran. No, you know Arabic, but you don't necessarily know the Quran of the Arabic of Allah. So make it a point when you want to learn the Quran, learn the words Allah uses. And there are apps online on your phone that you can learn the Quran word by word. I would encourage all of us to use those apps to learn the words, because when you learn them, then you can piece together the entire Quran like a jigsaw puzzle. You can understand the individual components, put it together, and get a beautiful picture of what Allah wants us to know. And I'll conclude in the next few minutes because the time is running short. The second part of the verse, verse 24, is where Allah says, وَخْفِذْ لَهُمَا جَنَاهَ ذُلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. that lower the wing of humility, of mercy unto your mother and father, and say to Allah, make a prayer to Allah, that, oh my God, oh Allah, have mercy upon them as they took care of me when I was a young child. There's a lot of beauty and imagery in this verse. I'll just try to end it quickly here. One of the things that we have to realize is that as our parents get old, they become in a difficult state of mind. They become have difficulties functioning physically. Right? We see this in Surah Yasin. Allah says, وَمَن نُؤَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. When we cause somebody to get older and live a long life, we reduce them in their physical abilities. So as our mother and father get old, they may not be as mobile. They may not be able to drive anymore. They may not be able to walk anymore, to cook their own food, to take care of themselves. And rather than, as in our Western society, we throw our parents in an old folks' home, in a retirement home, in a senior's home, and forget about them. As a community of believers, we have to think of what we are able to do. We've created masajid and husayniyat and institutions, but have we created places where we can take care of our seniors, elderly, in a respectable fashion? We spent millions of dollars in Canada on masajid, but what about on taking care of our parents when they get old? And maybe they need 24-hour, around-the-clock supervision. We have to look at this and realize that we have to do something for them as an obligation that we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let me end with this one last point for tonight, that all that I've just said about our parents is of the utmost importance. Again, if it was not important, Allah would not have mentioned it after His ubudiyah, after worshipping and serving Allah. But the fact that Allah says, worship Him and be good to your parents, it shows us that as Muslims, this is the most important injunction after belief in God. This verse, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانِ, our imams of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam, they were asked about this verse. What does it mean? And you know, the imams of Ahlul Bayt, they would give us the apparent meaning. They would say, well, that's your mom and dad, your biological parents. Or even as we talked about last night, if you have adopted parents, you owe them love and respect because they're bringing you up as well. But sometimes the companions would push the Prophet or imams, give us more. Tell us some secrets behind these ayat. What does Allah really want us to know? And so Imam al-Askari, our 11th Imam, when he was asked, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, what does it mean, be good to your parents? The 11th Imam quotes a hadith going back to Rasulullah, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Where the 11th Imam says, quoting Rasulullah, أَفْضَلُوا وَالِدَيْكُمْ وَأَحَقُّهُمَا لِشُكْرِكُمْ, that the most, we can say the best of your parents, and the one who has a greater right, or the greatest right over you to thank them, are not your biological mother and father. Those parents are important. But he says the best of those parents that you owe a right to, Muhammad wa Ali. Because as the hadith says, the Prophet says that ana wa Ali abawa hadhihi umma, that me and Ali are the fathers of this nation. And so if we owe our mother and father that level of respect, if we owe our parents that level of honoring them and cherishing them, then as the 11th Imam says, that the Prophet of Islam, he's our spiritual father. Amirul Mu'mineen, he's our spiritual father. And we owe these two personalities and their families even more than we owe to our own biological parents.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen. قيوم رؤوف
محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Maybe we can say that like any other successful person in the world, the first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
روش ما همین تفسیر قرآن به قرآن توضیحش همینه دیگه قرآن.
My method of tafsir is Quran by the Quran.
We have in the Quran that if you do everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you have a divine cause and you follow that divine cause, Allah make you famous. Generally, we have people who go after the popularity, for example, through their like books and the works that they do. But Allama, one of the main characteristics was that he was doing everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher and analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim thinkers, philosophers, and jurists all across the nation of Islam. And with me in the studio are two experts, two religious experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Dr. Murtaza Rezazadeh and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, salam alaikum, brother, and welcome to your show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome, brother. And Dr. Murtaza Rezazadeh, thank you very much, brother, and salam alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having me.
From today onward, we want to talk about a personality who is considered one of the most prominent thinker in the modern Shia Islam, and he had expertise in different fields of studies. He was a polymath, in fact, and his comprehensive personality made him one of the greatest trainers, teachers, and philosophers of contemporary Iran, and not only Iran, in the world of Islam. And he is no one but Sayyid Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai, mainly known as Allama Tabatabai. Allama, in fact, is an honorific title used for a polymath in Farsi and Arabic language. So for today's discussion, we want to listen to one of his Farsi audio file along with the English translation, and then we'll get to the elaboration by the scholars over here. Let's listen to that and we'll be back.
استاد چرا شعر گفتید؟
برای اینکه جاهی جنبه خیال جلو می کرد و
Dear Allama Tabatabai, why did you write poetry?
Because the imagination revealed certain things that I thought were important to share, so I shared them in the form of poetry.
من به سرچشمه خورشید نخود بردم راه ذره بودم و
It was not through myself that I made it to the origin of light. I was a speck, and it was your love that made me ascend. I am a straw of nothingness, but it was getting caught in the flood that brought me to the heart of the sea.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the program, The Teacher. We are talking about Allama Tabatabai. And in this episode, we want to talk about another aspect of the life of this great man, and that is his poetry and literary knowledge and the literature. Dr. Zazadeh, let's start with you for this episode. Truly, he was an Allama. We can say he had knowledge of the philosophy and also exegesis of the Holy Quran, but also, you know, the poems that he had and the religious content and the mystic, we can say, content of his poems were really great. And it was confirmed and verified by the outstanding letterists or the literary man of his time, too. Talk a little bit about this aspect of the life of Allama for us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Although many people have not talked a lot about this very beautiful aspect of the life and the character of Allama Tabatabai, but definitely that is one of the most beautiful and inspiring you know, aspects of the life of Allama Tabatabai, like any other mystic. You know, Allama Tabatabai was definitely a true mystic. And when you look at the lives of the true mystics, you see a beautiful aspect of love and a different approach to this world, and, you know, looking at everything in this world and their relationship with God from the love point of view.
That's,
you
right.
know, and that point of view and that, let's say, mystical aspect can be shown and manifested in the best way by poetry and by anything that has influence on your emotions.
That's right.
Poetry is one of them. Literature is another one. You know, poetry, literature, and in the general sense, yes. art, the yes. language of the art,
yes.
is one of the most influential languages mm-hmm. that can be used in order to transmit a message to another person.
And this Some has not us, been new in the Persian language, because
course,
in Persian we
yeah.
had so many great ulama
Absolutely.
And the mystics who
yeah.
had composed poetry. Hafez, for example, was
sure.
one of them. Molana,
yeah.
you know that Molana in the preface of his book, this is Usul-e-Din, okay?
Right. Yeah.
That we can say more than 6,000 verses of the Masnavi of Molana have been derived directly
yeah.
from the Holy Quran and Ahadith.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And you know, when you talk to a person, you can talk to their minds and to mm-hmm. and that is the language of the reason and philosophy.
Okay.
Sometimes we talk to another person to their emotions,
okay.
to their heart,
mm-hmm.
to their spirit.
Yes.
And that for that thing to happen, we need the language of art. We need poetry. We need wisdom.
Literature.
We need literature.
That's right.
These are the languages that talk to the heart. So Allama Tabatabai, being a true mystic, uses that language, and he has composed beautiful poetry himself. Not much, but still the little amount
okay.
of the poetry that we have from
That's
him
right.
are beautiful.
Can you read some couplets for us?
Yeah,
in Farsi,
especially
and
the one, yeah, Kish-e Mehr is that very famous piece of poetry that he has composed. We can translate it as the religion of love.
Mm-hmm.
The
Kish
title
means religion here.
Yeah.
And this love is for divine love. Yes?
Sure, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone can, you know, one of the features of poetry is that it can be interpreted
yes.
in many different ways
yes.
by different people.
But no,
people
for
can
a scholar like Allama, when he's talking about
yeah,
love,
yeah,
for sure.
Sure,
this is the problem. Thank you very much, Dr. Zaza. Do you want to read the couplet?
Yeah, of course. I can do the first line, maybe.
Yeah, first line.
You know, همی گویم و گفته ام بارها بود کیش من مهر دلدارها. I have always said, and I repeat it all the time, that my religion is the love of the beloved. And then he says, پرستش به مستی است در کیش مهر برونند زین حلقه هوشیارها. In the religion of love, worshipping happens by intoxication. You know, this
uh-huh.
is being intoxicated by the love of the beloved,
That's
by
right.
the love of the word. You know, this type of intoxication is used, this notion
yes.
is used very highly in the Persian poetry.
And
then
he
says, برونند زین حلقه هوشیارها.
Yes.
Those who are alert are out of this circle.
Yeah. Those sober ones
yes,
are out of. And
exactly.
you know that, brothers and sisters, these concepts we are referring to are all, we can say, because we have the problem. We have this problem. When our mystical, Gnostic, religious poems are translated into English language, they miss all the divinity.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of our Westerners...
And even in Persian, some people
yeah,
do not get the...
Get the notion.
Yeah, exactly.
The divine notion. But these are all in the fields and the whole... because when we have a holistic look, in the same field of divinity and divine love and beloved over here refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And they are beautiful.
Yes. And they are beautiful, yes.
Much more beautiful than the philosophical argumentation and discussion.
Okay.
They really talk to the heart.
Yeah, they talk to the heart,
it.
That's right. Okay, Sayyid Mohsen, now we let's get to you, brother, about this religious literature as a channel in order to convey your messages. And Allama uses the term khiyal, that sometimes this khiyali power, we can say, overwhelm us, and we say some lines of poetry. What's your take on that, brother?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first of all, I see Allama where as a philosopher and Islamic scholar
yes.
and the interpreter of Quran, there I see him as an artist.
Okay.
Because in his life history, if we see his kids, like his daughter, she explained about him, how he was, and his friends also.
Yes.
They said he was a good calligrapher.
Yes.
He was a good designer.
Yes.
For example, one of his friends said, like, if you want to see his designing, the way the architects design
yes.
a building, he designed Madrasa Hujjatiya, which is in Qom.
Oh.
The Madrasa Hujjatiya, the design that
okay.
the two-floor... we can say the Hauza
yes.
and all those.
Okay.
It was designed by Allama Tabatabai.
Okay, very good.
And on top of that, he was a good painter as well. So obviously when he was at home, his kids were saying, like, he used to spend hours and hours with us in order to teach us calligraphy plus painting as well.
Yeah. Islamic
so
art.
Islamic art, yes.
That's right.
Islamic art. So if he is a poet, obviously that's because he had this sense of artist
yes.
that he has in him
yes.
in himself.
Very good.
And obviously, you know, a person who has these kinds of, you can say, like, dimensions, he knows how to transfer his message,
mm-hmm.
how to convey what he wants to say.
Very good.
Where in the philosophical discussions, when he is philosophically bringing the proofs and reasons, a perfect proofs and reasons, on the other side, to deal with the general public, those who are an ordinary man who loves literature, he had his poems there.
Yes.
And there, obviously, he's talking about this khayal, obviously.
Yes.
That this imaginary thing that, obviously, how to go towards the divinity, how
mm.
to be submissive.
Yes.
And what is this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is this divine love?
Yes.
Obviously, he has explained his divine goal and his divine love through the poems that he had over there.
That's right. When he says man be sarcheshme khurshid na khod bordam ra, this sarcheshme khurshid is for sure
mm.
showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the main source of the light over there. And I was zarre budam o mehr to mara bala bord. I was just an iota, an atom of nothing,
a particle
of nothing, and all of a sudden your love, you know, just reached my hand and
yeah.
took me up. Okay. This is really great, you know. And in this poetry he's talking about how the perfection of the soul is happening.
Yes.
Something which was very rare among contemporary poets of our time, you know, and especially in the, we can say, Western world nowadays, when we talk about love and beloved, the first thing that comes to our mind are what? Are the materialistic one, girls and boys thing, okay?
Yeah.
But the poet talking about love and then tracing back to the true source of love, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the same time, very much difficult, you know. Not every mind is capable of composing such poems.
It is, because especially for the mystics
yes.
and such scholars, obviously the best thing to do is, obviously they have their own imaginations.
Yes.
And these imaginations, obviously they have to convey it, they have to say it.
That's right.
And if they do not share this with others, obviously it's going to make them mad.
Yeah.
And that's the source what they find. Even, you know, in the Quran we have this in chapter Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because some people at the time of the Prophet, they thought like the Quran is a poetry.
Uh-huh.
It's a poem. Or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a poet.
Poet.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, revealed the words like that he is not, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَا هُشِّعَرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. We did not teach him the poetry. So this is not the poetry, this is
uh-huh.
Quran.
This is Quran.
Whereas we see, like, even in the life of Imam Ali and the other A'imma,
yes.
that they have their own poetry and all those things
yes.
were there. So basically this poem or poetry, because in the imaginations, the human being, when they want to imagine something,
yes.
this bird of
yes.
imagination, it,
yes.
it flew.
Yes.
And it goes wherever it wants.
Yes.
So you have to control it.
You control it, that's right.
you
Very
have
good.
To control it.
Huh.
If you do not control it,
okay.
it flies
everywhere.
It goes there and there. And
but for Allama, it flies
yes.
in the divine sky.
And
that's
for
right.
Allama, because he was a philosopher,
mm-hmm.
he used to spend most of his time in thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pondering on the things that he was learning. And that was the base, obviously, where he could have these... Tafsir al-Mizan
That's
or maybe
right.
the other books that he has
yes.
From his son it is said like he said like his father did not had many books
mm-hmm.
at his home the library the,
yes.
the library that he has in his house it was a very small library very few books and he said like my father used to spend his time in pondering and thinking all the time
That's right.
And we also have, like, when the wife of Allama Tabatabai, she passed away, he said, like, she was my biggest supporter. Why?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I was spending my time in yeah. thinking and pondering, and she was, on every hour, she was bringing tea for me.
Yeah.
And she wasn't making
without me noticing it.
Yes, without yeah. me noticing it. Why? Okay. Because she did not let my things to yeah. disperse.
Disperse, that's
so
right.
So it shows that how Allama Tabatabai was into the
had
deep,
respect in the family too.
In the family too.
That's right.
And how he was yeah. pondering, like, in, yeah. through his whole very life. Good. He had this pondering, thinking, deep thinking, the imagination. And obviously, you need a source, a mean, to transfer these things that
that's
you
right.
have in your mind
right.
to the outside world.
Okay.
And that what Allama Tabatabai has said, like, he found this as a best mean.
That's all right. May Allah bless his soul. He's buried in the holy shrine, one of the courtyards of the holy shrine, inside, of course, courtyard of Hazrat Masuma in the city of Qom. May Allah bless his soul. He was really, truly an Allama, a polymath. We talked about his philosophy, his tafsir of the Quran, his poetry. And what attracted all different scholars from different fields of study, from philosophy, the most broad-minded intellectuals of contemporary Iran to the most traditionalist clerics of the Islamic house of Qom and Najaf, was truly the character of Allama. And we must know that the true trainer and the true teacher knows what he's teaching. I mean, I'm talking about Sayyid Ali Ghazi Tabatabai now. Mm-hmm. I mean, as the most outstanding true trainer and the right. teacher of Allama Tabatabai. And this, again, shows to the families who are listening to this program the importance of having a good teacher for our children and our students. A mentor,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
right. A spiritual mentor and trainer. Thank you much, Dr. Azadeh and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, for your mm-hmm. presence in the program, The Teacher. We talked about Allama Tabatabai. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners of iRabi English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher, which was about Allama Sayyid Muhammad Hussain Tabatabai. Visit our website, parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page, also a YouTube page, Call of Islam Radio. May Allah bless you all. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
If you ask me, why do I stand here? So unafraid of everything around me, proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam dini wal-azam ghayru dini Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Are going to talk about miscellaneous issues related to Islamic laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei.
He was born in 1939. When he began his Hausa studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching Makassas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and his teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Sheikh Javid, is commission halal? I mean, the money earned or paid to a state agent, a real estate agent?
Of course, it is permissible. The commission is the money that you receive from someone for doing a job. You are not receiving money for doing nothing, okay?
Yes, or for doing something which is halal.
Of course, you are a dealer. For example, you are a state agent. You're not an agent, but you are working between the buyer and the let's say the property owner,
mm-hmm.
and you try to arrange the deal.
Yes.
Deal. And
to
for
close
the
deal,
work,
yes.
Yeah, for the work, for the work you are doing, you get some money either from the from the housing agency,
yes.
or the estate agency, or from the property owner, or maybe from the from the buyer.
Yes.
So as far as the there's the consent, and the money is paid with the consent of either side, there's no problem.
It's like the lawyer's fee, basically.
Yeah, the lawyer's fee.
Right?
Yes.
So it's completely permissible.
It's permissible, yes.
I see. How about monthly salary or wages even for holding congregational prayers or guiding or preaching in government departments? Is this money, this salary permissible?
I should clarify one thing. One is, if you are offering your own prayers,
yes,
and a few people come and stand behind you, okay,
yes.
offering their prayers in jama'ah, you cannot charge them for the prayer that you offer, because the prayer is obligatory for you and for those people. So you cannot charge people for obligatory duties. It is an individual obligation. It's not a collective obligation, okay? Had it been a collective obligation, okay, you could avoid doing it. Someone else would do it.
Yes.
So you could charge, if you wanted to do it, you could charge, you could get some money, you could get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, there are some other services that you might offer, like for guiding and preaching and government departments, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
There's no problem in receiving wages for preaching. There's no problem in receiving and fixing even money for these things.
Because there is another third party involved, you mean?
Of course, there is. Whether there is a third party involved or not, because you are either working for, let's say, for a preaching organization,
yes,
like we have in the Islamic Republic of Iran, we have
propagation.
Islamic propagation organization. You
yes.
work as a preacher for that organization, and you get paid by that organization. Or maybe there is a charitable organization which is willing to pay you.
Yes.
So there's no problem whatsoever in receiving money for the work you do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. What about the wages that some people in fact receive, or even salaries, for teaching a person, an individual, to recite the Quran or to say the prayer? Is it permissible? I mean, this kind of wage that some people ask, the teacher, in
yes.
fact, asks for a kind of tuition, for example, fees.
You know, it's highly recommended to teach prayer and to teach the Quran, okay? And it is actually obligatory for someone to learn to pray, okay?
Yes.
It is obligatory. It's also obligatory for a person to learn how to fast, the rules of
yes.
fasting, the rules
okay.
of prayer, and these are obligatory. But if there is someone who is willing and volunteering to teach the prayer or teach the Quran, he can charge for it. He can ask for money. And of course, the money that he receives from the student is halal. There's no objection to that person receiving money.
I see. La ilaha illallah,
Allahu Akbar. The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
What about the kind of payment? Is it permissible to ask for payment in order to perform ghusl or wash a dead body?
You know, ghusl, giving a ritual ghusl to a dead body is a collective obligation. A collective obligation is an obligation in which all people, all duty-bound Muslims are under the obligation to perform it.
Yes.
And if all of them refrain from doing it, from fulfilling that obligation,
mm-hmm.
all of them are considered to be sinful. And therefore, if one of them, one out of among them,
yes.
undertakes to fulfill that obligation, other Muslims, other duty-bound Muslims
are relieved
of the obligation to
mm-hmm.
fulfill it.
I see.
So for such obligations, for such duties, it is permissible for a person to receive money, to receive wages. And we do have in our cemeteries, in our
yes.
graveyards, there are people in the cemeteries.
Yeah, they are trained to do so.
They are trained, yes, for this purpose. And they receive wages because they have their families to support financially.
Right. Yes.
So there is no objection to them receiving wages for giving ghusl to the dead bodies.
Does it matter or does it make a difference where the money comes from? I mean, they are paid by an organization, like a third party, or no? They ask the person,
okay.
like the mourners of the dead person.
He can ask the close relatives, he can ask the organization.
Right.
Maybe that organization, maybe let's say, for example, there's a cemetery there. It is at the cemetery is actually, it could be, it might have, it's a management, okay? the manager of the cemetery, first of all, will charge the person, because in Islamic Republic of Iran, the graves are sold. And
sold to the private sectors?
Yeah, to the individuals, private individuals.
Yes.
The people who lose a family member, they have to pay for the services that are rendered for the grave. And of course, it's not the individual, the person who is responsible to wash, to give ghusl to the dead body, who goes directly to the heirs or to the relatives. He takes his money from the management, okay? And so when it comes to the money he receives, of course, the money is halal and there is no objection to him.
Sheikh Javid, is it also religiously permissible to get paid for reciting a marriage contract or even undertaking the wedding ceremonies, for example? We know that there are some people who are somehow qualified, either by the government or by private sectors, to undergo all the processes which are used or involved in terms of, for example, wedding ceremonies and stuff like that.
Of course, there's no doubt as to the fact that it is absolutely permissible for an individual to receive wages for rendering services like this, okay?
Yes.
Like we see in the Islamic Republic of Iran, there are clergymen who are permitted
to do so.
Permitted, and who have license, for example, for doing this. They represent the notary office.
Yes, exactly.
And they actually read the formula of nikah on behalf of the bride and the groom.
Yes.
Okay. And of course, there is no problem in the salary that he receives. It's halal, and the same is the case with all the such other contracts that are, let's say, consummated, or actually concluded. And there is a person, an individual,
yes,
involved. He receives wages for that contract, for concluding that contract, or for bringing those two parties together and finalizing the contract.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. That was the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.